Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Bucher and Friends podcast, co-starring 10-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion, Will Blackman.
Fanning from the end zone, he throws, and it's a deflect away, and it is picked off by Will Blackman, the former Giant.
Tim Dwight watches it hit, bounces, picks it up at the 10, slips a defender, fumble the football, it's up for grabs, it's covered in the end zone by Will Blackman for a Green Bay touchdown!
And now, here is your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
Welcome to another episode of Bucher and Blackman, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. I'm Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1. You can read me on Bleacher Report. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rick Bucher. He is NFL vet, Super Bowl champ, Will Blackman. You can follow him on Twitter at Will Blackman. That's WILLBLACKMON. All right, so you sent me a text. We're going to start here. We got a lot to get into. But you sent me a text that says, you and Ryan, man, y'all some bad company. Now, I understand why you would say that about Ryan. I have no idea why you're saying that about me. What did I do? What did I say?
Listen, it's just funny because, you know, we'll post one of our podcasts and promote them, and you just get so much hate.
You have no idea.
You get so much.
You know what's funny?
And hate, and yeah. I'm just like, man, I'm in the middle of this.
Yeah. Yeah,
you and friends, and the picture is the three of us. Yeah. And so that's you. And then with Ryan, I mean, he's out there. He's out there. He's on his own right now.
Boy, is he.
And he got lit up by Max today, who redeemed himself after all his crazy outtakes, all his crazy takes on sports, especially the sport of basketball. And he got Ryan with a good one today.
Did he? Did he really?
How'd he get him? The greatest. So they were talking, you know, Ryan's saying that James Harden should have won the MVP went on. And Max said, you know, he's defending Giannis. And he said, imagine somebody your size, Ryan, who happens to be really good at basketball. Imagine that.
Oh, my.
Bro.
That's a pretty good shot. That was a pretty good shot.
That was right in the solar plex.
Yes, no doubt. Yeah, that'll take the wind out of you there for a second.
Because I'm on Twitter. I'm like, man, I'm like, oh, Ryan Hollins is trending. What did he do now?
Yes, I know.
I'm like, I hope he didn't do anything crazy at the awards or anything nuts out of the whatever it is. And I looked and saw the video, and that's what Max said. So I'm like, then I thought about it. I was like, man, I'm just in the middle of this.
Yeah.
I get people say, you know, all publicity is good publicity, but I'm like, man.
They also say, be careful who you choose for friends.
Be careful.
Yeah. Look, I understand that it's a volatile, it's a volatile time for me, and emotions are running high among fans. So anytime you tell them something that they don't want to hear or they don't want to believe, then one side or the other is going to react emotionally. So I take all of that in stride. I will say I took a lesson from Marcellus Wiley was telling me that there's this way in which you can prevent comments on your Instagram posts, there's a way you can set it up so that you can only get comments from people that you follow. So you can choose who's commenting on your Instagram. So I went in and I did that. What I found out, though, is that it doesn't prevent people from posting on or commenting on posts prior to when you put that into effect. So they can go to old posts and comment. And I generally don't look at those, but I happened to open one of them and it was just a string of people just killing me for something more recently.
And so funny.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is obviously is with Kevin Durant and the back and forth with Kevin Durant. And so you're not going to win on this. Either Knicks fans are going to be upset if he's not coming there, or Warriors fans are going to be upset that he's leaving. You got two pretty large factions there, and somebody is going to be irate. Depending on what it is that I say I'm hearing or reporting or whatever. And most of this is, I think you and I have talked about it, Will. I look at it as, if we're talking here on the podcast, or I'm talking on Colin's show, or I'm doing Speak for Yourself, then I'm having a conversation with somebody about a topic, and I'm talking about what I'm hearing. When other outlets then take something that I've said on one of those shows and says, Rick Bucher is reporting, I don't have any control over what verbs they use or how they frame the context and the content of what I'm saying. And I've gotten to the point where I don't care. If you want to say I said something and it's not an accurate portrayal of what I said or the context in which I said it, and then you get all the screaming memes on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or whatever, and they want to take you down a peg or say you're an idiot because you said this or whatever, I've just come to realize I'm just going to let that flow past me. Every now and then somebody says something that it's just, and here's the thing, people come at me with stuff that's just categorically wrong. They say I said things that I never said. In fact, I said the opposite of. So I take it at this point all in stride. But I realize now that you're just getting, you're being covered by the avalanche. and no one tapped you on the shoulder to say, hey, Will, there's an avalanche about to land on you.
Absolutely. My goodness. Anyhow.
Yeah. So,
but it's all good. I think it's funny. I enjoy the entertainment. I enjoy you two getting lit up. You know, I embrace everyone.
Yes. Yes. You know? People take some of this way.
All of
I was
it.
DMing with a guy All who was just it. Taking it way, way too seriously. And I finally had to cut him off. It became, those people scare me. If I see them somewhere on the street, I'm thinking they scare me. Anyway, I was at the NBA Awards last night. I didn't stay for the actual awards. I went there to talk to people beforehand. Because the red carpet and it's a big cocktail party. For those who don't like the fact that they hold all of the awards that are regular season awards until this time after everything's over, I'm with you. But if you saw the production and you saw everything that went into Turner and the NBA putting on this deal, I don't see it going away anytime soon. It's too lucrative and it's too profitable. And it's become too big of a deal. I will say, seeing Ludacris, I didn't see Ludacris. He might have come in, but I didn't see him. 2 Chainz, I saw 2 Chainz, I saw Quavo. I saw him getting out of his car. He needed a little bit of assistance. he was not feeling any pain.
Hey, amen.
Which
sometimes.
Sometimes. That's the way it goes.
Bad and bougie.
Yes, exactly. Any thoughts from you? Did you watch the NBA Awards? Did you care? Was there anything that you thought was egregiously wrong?
Egregiously wrong?
Yes.
No, I enjoyed it. You know, I liked all the awards.
Okay.
I agreed with every single one of them. I thought, you know, just personal, I didn't think he would. I did tweet it out actually right before it happened. I wanted Paul George to win. But
MVP?
I did. I wanted him to.
Okay.
No, but
that's what you wanted, even though you knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I wanted him to, but right. I knew Giannis was going to get it.
Right. There was a point in the season where I think Paul George had a good shot, before he got hurt.
Yes.
He was playing as well as anybody. I might even make the case that there was about a six-week stretch where he played better than anybody in the league played, Giannis and James Harden included, at any time this season.
Right.
Like, he had a six-week stretch that was the best six-week stretch by anybody last season, because he was doing it at both ends. And I think there's an element here too, Will, is that it's when you see somebody who's doing, you already know they're a good, great player, and they do something that's even beyond what you've seen them do before.
Right.
Add something to your respect for that particular period and wanting to see them rewarded for it. As I mentioned, talked to a lot of people, executives, owners, GMs, players, everybody rolling through. And I don't know if you heard. In fact, let's do this. Have you heard Andre Iguodala's comments?
Absolutely.
You have. Okay, so for those who haven't, we're going to play a clip of Andre Iguodala talking about his injury that he played with last year, the misnomer on that, and halftime habits by some players. So here is Andre.
You don't think the Warriors had any responsibility with maybe pushing KD out there too soon?
Well, that's a tough part too. You think about it. We have a really good training staff. I'll give credit where credit's due. Our training staff is one of the best in the world, and I feel like they got him back. The tough thing is when you're an athlete and you're hurt, everybody's looking at you sideways. Mm-hmm. And then being his teammate is harder, because everyone's feeding stuff in our head. When KD coming back? When KD coming mm-hmm. back?
And the fact that it's the finals.
So I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Last year happened to me. Mm-hmm. I missed the last three games of the Houston series. It goes to game seven. We barely get out of that series. And now they're looking at me like, when you coming back? And I had a fractured leg. But it's being put out there like he got a bone bruise. I'm like, no, it's fractured. So I'm fighting with the team. I'm fighting with people. I'm fighting with the media. And then my teammates ask me every day, how you feeling? So with Kay, he getting it from everywhere too. Like, how you feeling? Not just from, you know, the team, but from family or from, people close to him. You know, this our moment. This our stage. You know,
right.
This don't last forever. And what they'd always say in sports, oh, he was a tough guy. He played through injuries. You know, you're validated as an athlete if you win a championship or how tough you were. Mm-hmm. You know, if you sit out, it's like, he's not tough.
How much impact does social media have on players? You talk about that in the book, but how much does it really have on players?
More than it should. Mm. Like, it's normal now to go in the locker room and everybody, first thing they do, people grab their phones.
Lord have mercy.
And I'd be like, oh, my God.
Like at halftime?
At halftime.
Really?
It's like normal now.
Well, you seen dude that brought his phone out to the game.
Right. Well, it's normal. Mm-hmm. Grab your phone, and I'm looking, dudes checking Instagram.
See what people saying about their performance.
Checking.
That's crazy.
Checking the halftime stats.
All right, so first, what do you make? This is what's interesting to me, Will, is I don't think you could ever get an NFL player to be as starkly honest as Andre Iguodala was in saying, they said it was a bone bruise, but I was actually playing with a fracture at the end of the playoff series with the Rockets last year, especially a player who is still under contract to the team that he is suggesting put out false information on his injury. Honestly, this, if it was really taken seriously, the NBA would have to respond. The Warriors would have to respond. This would be a huge deal. I wonder whether this is going to be swept under the rug as Andre just being Andre, or if more is going to come out of it. But correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see any way, anyhow, I would ever imagine an NFL player would have the wherewithal, even if he had the desire, the wherewithal to say what Andre said about his condition.
Yeah, he was on the Breakfast Club, Power 105. With DJ Envy, Angelique, and Charlamagne the God. You say an NFL player wouldn't. I think an NFL player would if he had a guaranteed contract.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's the huge distinction.
It is the massive. Yeah, guys, NBA, they say whatever they want. They get their money. They're all paid for the most part.
And especially Andre at this point, because he's probably thinking, this is my last year. The Warriors are in a world of hurt. I mean,
well, and he also has a book to promote. Okay, let's not forget that.
Yes, let's not forget that. And I would say that this is Andre being outrageous. Like, I feel
he's not. Like, well, I don't like that word.
Well, over the top.
I think he's just being brutally honest.
No. I was just gonna say there are other guys. Like, I feel like Lamar Odom said some things when his book came out that it was to promote the book. Like, I feel like there have been times where athletes have come out and they've done the tour, the media tour, and they say things in maybe Ron Artest. I can't cite chapter and verse in terms of what they did, but this is, I know Andre. I've talked to Andre plenty of times. This is Andre just being Andre.
Like, I agree.
If he didn't have a book out, he would still be talking the same way. I guarantee you.
No, I agree. It just so happens he's on a nice little tour right now,
exactly,
promoting it.
Yes.
But it's just coincidental. But I agree.
So with this in mind, because I've reported this and I've since had it, you know, several people come back and tell me, you know, confirming it further, that KD is not happy with how the injury was handled, and not the, you know, everybody goes to the black and white of, well, it was his decision to play or not, and it really doesn't take into account what it's like to be a player on a team playing for a championship and the nuance of what the pressure is, whether it's passive or it's proactive or whatever it might be. But in light of what Andre said, do you...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Understand better KD's feelings about the Warriors and how this whole thing was handled, and that he's, as I keep continue to hear, he's not going back to Golden State because of the it's not just the way it was handled, but the fact that it was put out there like, yeah, he's going to play and it's only a calf strain. Like, they minimized the injury almost to a point where he had to come back and play considering what other guys were playing with.
Well, yeah, if they're saying they minimized Andre's injury, said it was a bruise and a fracture, that's two different things.
Yeah, bone
things.
Bruise. It called it a bone bruise, and it was actually a fracture.
Yeah. Now, however, don't get me wrong. There are cases where, you know, I've had a major bone bruise, and you have to be really smart with that because it can turn into something else in terms of, like, damaging the area and where it was very painful.
Sure.
I also played with a fracture in my ankle before. And, you know, they called it hairline fracture because it was really small, but it was still a fracture.
Mm-hmm.
And I played with a fracture at my foot as well. So I don't know the extent, but he's saying that it was worse. So therefore it was minimized. And if that was the case with KD, I can see the irritation because, you know, you're playing with somebody's career.
Yeah.
On a different scale in the NFL, you know, you have Monday through Saturday, do everything in your power to make sure you are healthy for Sunday because it is such a brutal and physically demanding sport. And the guys know in the NFL, you want to do everything in your power to stay out of the training room because you feel like even if you're a marquee guy, as soon as you walk in there, you feel like, okay, someone took a note. Like, you hope to walk in there and no one sees you. You hope to, like, hey, if I'm just getting my calf massaged, I hope the head coach doesn't walk in.
Really? So what's his thinking when he sees you in there?
Like, he's thinking, what's wrong? Or why is he in here? Or if he sees you in there multiple occasions, like, okay, this guy's always in here. So then they start thinking, like, man, maybe something's wrong or what's going on here. They always want to know, like, are you healthy? I don't know if it's genuine concern or what have you. So in my case, which is on a different scale than KD, I would get treatment offsite. If I had an injury, I would not go to our training staff.
That sounds crazy.
Not because they weren't good.
Right.
But just because I didn't want them on my record. I don't want them docking that I'm in the training room getting treatment for anything.
So even if you are ready to play and you're just getting treatment to play, it's looked at as a negative if you're in the training room for whatever reason. It's automatically the assumption is something's wrong, and even if he plays, he's not going to be right.
Or just something like, what's wrong? Why was Will in here? You know, something was that. Why was Will in here?
Have even you ever seen,
like, if he was, even if the coach was like, even if the trainer was saying Will was just getting stretched, but they just want to know, why was he in here?
And have you ever seen anybody who got dinged or paid a price because they were in the training room too much, or that kind of that innuendo and that question caused them either to get released or waived or not re-signed, or that it there was a direct impact of that guy who was in the training room all the time not being with the team?
Well, right now, Washington Redskins left tackle Trent Williams, he was skipping practice this year because he was frustrated with the medical staff. Apparently, something happened with him being misdiagnosed with something, with a certain injury. And so he hasn't been showing up because he doesn't want them touching him. And he went back home to Texas and decided to have a procedure. Yeah. I think that's where he had it, on a certain injury, because he was just frustrated and fed up with the staff about being misdiagnosed with whatever it is.
See, this is what I don't get, why fans don't understand this. And I'm not saying that every fan doesn't get this, but there seems to be a healthy faction out there, if I'm reading, you know, the reactions on social media, and which is always dangerous. But there's been a lot of voices out there, or people liking voices or retweeting voices, who are saying, hey, KD's a grown man. He makes his own decisions. He had his own doctor sign off on it. Like, why is he blaming the Warriors? And I'm thinking, do you not understand that it doesn't matter who told him?
It doesn't matter who told him.
The fact of the matter is, there's only one outlet who could stop him from playing. One. And that's the Warriors. They're the only ones who could say, KD, we're not going to let you play.
Right. They have the authority to not let him out there.
Exactly.
They're the only person. No matter how much you want to go, they can put him on. He is inactive and sand.
Exactly. You're not going to put him on the active list.
Right.
You have the wherewithal. That's what they did to Clay.
Right.
And you have the wherewithal to do that with any player.
And that's how it was when I was on the Giants with Coach Coughlin. You know, he wanted guys out there. But the athletic trainer, Ronnie Brown, he had the power. Right. So because he would always ask Coach Coughlin, hey, how are you doing? And he's not the example that I mentioned earlier. But he would ask too, like, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Are you good? Right. And then Ronnie Barnes, who was the head athletic trainer, would tell, he's like, hey, you know, I'll talk to coach. Don't worry about it. And he'll literally, like, he's not practicing today because he doesn't feel good, or this is what's going on. So here's the thing with organizations. If you're not a player and you are working for that logo on the helmet or jersey, that name, your job pretty much is to do everything in your power that's in the best interest of the organization.
Right. Right.
At the end of the day.
Right.
At the end of the day. So if you're a trainer, your job is to whatever is best for the team, not so much the player, for the team. You know, I had a situation where, you know, I had an injury in Green Bay with my foot, and I went to the team doctor. You know, I went to, and then I got the surgery by him, and the surgery failed, and I had to go get it done by somebody else. I did that twice. I had two surgeries from the team doctor that failed. Now, I'm not saying like he went in there and did a half-assed job to get me back out there, but it didn't work. Especially when I did my ACL. I didn't know this, but everybody knows for an ACL, you should do a patella tendon graft.
Yep.
Because it's the strongest. Mm-hmm. It's your own tendon, and you can fuse in the thigh bone and the through your tibia. You can fuse the two bone pieces, and it's stronger. He told me, hey, if you do a hamstring or a cadaver, no, you do a cadaver, you can come back faster. I did a cadaver. Came back faster, but felt like crap.
Interesting.
And then I wasn't feeling good during training camp, and again released.
Yeah. And I would imagine you never trusted that team doctor again.
I always, from now on, I got a second opinion.
Yeah.
Always. Right. And, you know, I would check my agent, but unfortunately my agent had a situation. He, you know, had a heart attack, whatever. That's a different story. But yeah, that's where you check in with your agent and you honestly check off all the boxes and get multiple opinions, not just the team. Because sure. If you just talk to the team, they're going to do what's best for the team. You need to get gazillion opinions.
Right. Well, and the better teams, the really good teams, try to make a decision that's in the best in our best interest, which means the team and the player. The
not
average team.
Case.
What's that?
Not always the case.
Well, no. I'm saying the really good organizations, and a lot of that has to be colored. And this is where I've really kind of pushed back on it because, you know, the Warriors have just been about the right thing, and I know the way they've handled their players. Certainly since the current regime, they've been really good about taking care of the players. Now, the one thing that's been brought up time and again, and I really haven't given it much credence, but I'm beginning to wonder if I'm making a mistake and not giving it more credence, is the fact that they pushed the envelope with KD and wasn't guaranteed to be with them beyond this. Were they pushing the envelope with him in order to get this three-peat, thinking that worst case scenario, if he gets hurt, well, it's not going to be on our dime. It doesn't have to be on our dime because he's going to be a free agent. I hate to think that they would think that way. And I would, even if they knew, if they said, if KD had already made it clear to them, I'm not coming back. I'm not, I'm gone. I know there are people in the organization who believe that and have believed that for quite some time, that he was not staying. I would hate to think that they pushed the envelope in this instance, knowing the full scope of what could happen and took that risk with him. I'm hoping that's not the case, but there are people out there that believe that could have been what informed them to roll the dice the way they did. In any case, they screwed up because they definitively said, Steve Kerr told us, he was told he couldn't do any further damage. He couldn't make it worse. Clearly that was not true. Clearly they got that wrong.
Which is absurd.
Whether they misdiagnosed it. Well, and here's the other part. Will, executive last night I'm talking to at the award show. He goes, the one thing you can't do is tell a player you can't get hurt worse than you already are. Because you don't know that. And if he does end up getting hurt worse, you've now lost that guy. He's not going to have any confidence in your medical staff going forward.
Yeah, that's insane. Because if you do anything to it, you can obviously hurt it worse. That's like the craziest thing ever.
Or
I wonder if he did get another opinion from somebody else. That's what I'm curious about.
What's that?
I wonder if he did get a second opinion outside.
I believe that he did. And I don't know what they told him. I also know that over the last week prior to him playing, that the people that were saying, KD, it's too big of a risk. Don't do it. He wasn't responding to them anymore. So he's surrounded by Andre Iguodala, who's playing hurt, Kevon Looney, who's playing hurt, Klay Thompson, who's playing hurt, DeMarcus Cousins, who's playing hurt.
That's press, automatic pressure.
Yes. And you know how it is.
Yeah.
Guys don't ask, are you okay? They say, you good?
Playing.
Yeah.
You good?
You ready?
Right.
They don't want details. They want to know when you're back.
Yeah.
Are you with us? And this is where I truly believe that KD is upset with the Warriors to a level that can't be reconciled. Because I don't know about you. I don't know about you now. But when I was hooping regularly and I was single, I'd be rolling around San Francisco looking for the best pickup games. And I kind of knew where they were and when they were, and they were in different places in the city. And if you heard of one or you heard of a good run in a good gym, you wanted to be there and check it out. That's who Kevin Durant is. Doesn't matter how much money he makes, he loves nothing better than hooping. He travels around the country during the off season looking to get into runs with various guys.
Right.
To work out. Did it with Pascal Siakam. Did it with Kevon Looney.
Speaking of Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
He had, for most improved, he had the longest speech I ever heard for most improved player. My goodness.
He had to thank his dad. I mean, I'm going to give him that. I didn't stay. Yeah. I didn't stay, and I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's thank his dad. But I mean, that was that. I was like, wow, there's no wrap it up song here. That's impressive.
Especially for TV. You would have thought.
Know.
Yeah, you would have thought somebody had been in his ear, was giving him the cut sign. But that said, the fact that KD can't hoop this summer, can't hoop for a year, is what we're anticipating. The idea that he's not going to be ticked off at somebody, that he's not feeling salty some kind of way about how did I end up in this situation, I'm sorry. You don't know KD. And it's as simple as that. You can, like, everybody's, well, he can't blame so-and-so. He can. Yes, he can. If they didn't keep him from himself, from making a bad decision, or if they in any way, and I don't think it's like, you know, they were telling him not to, but if it's your choice, I don't think it was like that. If it was, hey, we think you're going to be okay. If it was anything like that, I just don't know how you, I don't know how you get around that. So the latest that I'm hearing on this is that KD is going to sign the max, 5-year max, as a sign and trade with the Warriors. He's not coming back. You can sign me to the 5-year max and you can deal me to one of the New York teams. And that way they get a trade exception back. Maybe, you know, one of those teams throws in a second round pick. It's not going to be like they're going to get enough assets to, you're not getting Mitchell Robinson. You're not getting Kevin Knox. You're not getting, you know, anything of significance, but you are going to get a trade exception and you'll get something rather than nothing. And you can do right by Kevin Durant and give him the max money since he tore his Achilles trying to help you win a third championship.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Anyhow. All right. That does it for this episode of Bucher and Blackman, subsidiary Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. Keep in mind, we enjoy you rating the show and letting us know how we're doing. We appreciate all of you who have become listeners. Our numbers are going through the roof, and we really appreciate that. Rate the podcast on iTunes, wherever you get it, and then send it to @BucherFriends, and you will be eligible to win some prizes. That's @BucherFriends on Twitter. All right. In the next podcast, we'll have more free agency news. I guarantee you that. We'll continue going down that road, and I'll give you a little more insight into what I saw on the red carpet, who I ran into, what I heard, some of the other moves, free agent moves that we haven't had a chance to delve into, the Tobias Harris's and the Jimmy Butler's. I'll give you a sense of where those things are. In the meantime, as always, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.